outside the perimeter and just a little more outside the perimeter of Atlanta, Georgia, where playing Memphis is always contentious.
Okay, that's not funny, but it's a quality pun. That's like, and it's accurate. It's accurate. It's definitely accurate. We've spent all weekend way the hell outside the perimeter. So that was a very fitting intro, Glenn.
It is the Five Takes Podcast, and we are back.
We're back.
like Messi, upsetting fans by not playing. So he barely played in the Saudi Arabia match where Ronaldo did not play either. So that was kind of a bust. He came on for like the last 7 minutes. And featured just to fill some contractual obligation that they had. But then they jetted over to, you know, hop, skipping and jumping away to Hong Kong on their preseason tour. And he did not play at all there. And the government has now gotten involved in Hong Kong over this chance of where is Messi, and boos were ringing out around the stadium. Miami is in a weird spot here. They've got a lot of work to do, I think, to capitalize on this moment and, you know, set themselves up for life after Messi, because that's coming. What, has he got a season? Season and a half?
He's signed a 3-year deal, so we're in year two. We're in year two of it. Right. And you know, Gressel came out in one of the pressers, I think, where he didn't start with the Al Hilal debacle, where not only did he not start, they lost 6-0. And said that he had a knock. It was preseason. They weren't taking any chances. Which,
I get it.
You know, it's the right call. But I think when you look at this idea of a preseason tour, the way that they're doing it, it really kind of defeats the whole purpose of the preseason. Because the preseason is supposed to be about integrating your squad, you know, figuring out who works well together. You know, there's always player turnover, things like that. And yeah, there is absolutely big time injury risk. So to obligate yourself as a squad contractually to showcase your best player, your draw, and everybody apparently, except for us in the United States, is reason for soccer living these days. And he can't go? Like, how do you answer for that? Like, people are very legitimately going to be upset if they're paying top tier pricing for no guarantee of a Messi sighting. And interesting, because our match against our home match against Inter Miami last season was a really funky microcosm of that, because I think most of us knew, given the circumstances and how much play he had been through before, that it was very, very unlikely we were going to get a Messi sighting at the Benz. They never came out and said no. And there were certainly plenty of other stories of interest to draw Atlanta United supporters to that building with the return of Tata Martinez and the return of Joseph Martinez to the Benz. But we didn't see Messi, and the whole internet in Atlanta blew up that Messi didn't show up. So forget you've got two club legends coming back to the club for the first, you know, for the first time in different kits that aren't national teams and friendly features, right? So that all goes out the window. Because one, you know, very famous Argentinian was ordering pizza on Insta the night before in Miami.
So, are they going to be ready for the regular season? Because like you were saying, the point of the preseason is what Atlanta is doing. And we've seen rust. And we've seen things that need to improve. But our goal is to work on that stuff. Miami's goal is promotion. And not from relegation spots. We're not talking about type of promotion. Yeah. It's all about a media blitz. I don't know if the work is really being done that needs to be done, because they're too busy jet setting around and showcasing the Fab Four, as it were, you know? Are they going to fall? Like, is this... I mean, look, I think we would do ourselves a disservice, and we shouldn't kid ourselves that, you know, they're just going to flop out the gate when they kick off at regular season. We have to respect the quality that they have and the world-class icons that they have playing for them.
I think realistically,
but this isn't getting ready. Like, there's got to be a little bit of nervousness going around.
And this is the other interesting talking point about it, right? The MLS regular season grind is very different from the European, South American, larger league grind where you're, you know, running multiple different cup tournaments at the same time, because we do not have the roster size and depth and cap space allowance to be able to run two or three first line teams where the quality is relatively equal. Because of the MLS salary cap, who the hell is behind Suarez and Busquets and Messi? I don't remember their names, except maybe, okay, Drake Callender, but like, oh, you know, there's a few people, but...
I understand what you're saying. They do have, it's not like they're just those four and then a bunch of jokers. They have a good team. No, now they're starting to deal with injuries as well. And when you, big injuries, and when you compound that with the fact that they're, it, from an outsider's point of view, it doesn't look like they're having a proper preseason.
No, they're spending all their time in long haul. And I mean, seriously, long haul airplanes. And yes, you can have a custom fitted all business class, custom jet, whatever, because you've got that kind of money to splash around. That doesn't make it any less physically taxing to be on a plane for 18 hours.
Correct. And then get off the plane and travel
15 hours later. Like, it's hard. So
it wrecks your body, right?
They're going to come back from this crazy tour, and they have not really address the needs in training time, like forget the matches. They're not getting training camp time that they need to build those fitness levels to where they're going to be, which will probably make them more injury prone than they already have proven to be.
Compounding one problem of compounding another.
I think Miami's a side that's built to like win tournaments. Like I could totally see them popping off and winning CCL. I could see them popping off and winning Open Cup again, or at least
short, compact. You can focus on that one match, get ready for it. But the MLS grind, the grinder that is MLS,
and with as physical of a league as this league, and then North American soccer in general is just far more physical than what you see over in Europe. I don't know. You know, come the end of the season, if I was a betting person and you want to pick a place to go see Lionel Messi play this year, I would pick a place to go before April 30th. Because I don't think Messi can hold up for an entire MLS season and actually show up for every single fixture that they're going to have to play this year.
I think it's a really good point. I think they're also going to be dealing with what we frequently deal with of opponents giving their best for us, because of the the prestige of beating a top team. And when you're facing the likes of Messi, Suarez, Busquets, Alba, you're gonna want to show up for that, for yourself, for your fans, because when's the next time you're going to get an opportunity to win against
name a goalie in the league that doesn't want that Budweiser.
Well, they that's a weird thing. I don't know how these keepers feel, because they all seem very happy about getting a Budweiser after being scored. But I'm sure they would all scored on. I'm sure they would all relish the opportunity. You stop a free kick from Messi, a penalty, whatever.
Right.
They're going to get the best when they're out of the teams that are playing. Even the teams that aren't very good, they're going to go all in on them, because it is what it is. And that's who those players are. And you want that opportunity. So that's another thing that they're going to have to deal with. I think anybody who was saying that they're just going to come out and run riot over this league, I think that's a bit much for me. Don't think that they're going to be nothing and struggle at the bottom. I don't think so. But I don't see them running away with this.
It's going to be an interesting experiment, because we've all seen this as kind of the gateway drug of the league. And what is it going to mean for incoming player transfers and people looking at MLS in a different way, from a different level of standing in the world than it had been, you know, for the past 10, 15 years prior. So it's an interesting experiment with how Miami is choosing to handle this, and how what Miami is choosing to do actually does, in fact, affect the rest of the league. There are some very interesting changes that have gone on behind the scenes this season with regards to trying to make sure existing MLS fans aren't priced out of the market for continuing to be fans of teams that don't have these players on them, and continuing to hopefully work better in ways to keep that access available. So we all kind of talk and laugh about this, but there are wider effects going on with this door that Lionel Messi opened, because who's to say now that Kylian Mbappe doesn't see, oh, hey, I could go to North America. I could live a cushy life here. You know, quality of life in North America, definitely a good thing. They could pay me in the form of, you know, major streaming subscription services, maybe ownership of a team. There's all sorts of creative ways to pay me what I'm worth. There's only a couple of teams in Europe that can pay me what I'm worth. Maybe it's not a thing to consider going to the biggest media consuming market on the planet in my prime. We're going to get there at some point. You know, this is kind of like everybody waiting to see how this all goes down. Ultimately, when Messi is done with his stint here, I think, to see what the future, you know, looks like for MLS with players like that coming in.
And you know, the league also.
It's no longer just, you know, a retirement showcase, right?
True. For what it's worth, Mbappe is going to go to Real Madrid at the end of this season. But players like him of that caliber, the league also has to start taking steps, and they didn't so far,
right,
to make that possible for teams in this league to do and to grow in that way. And they don't have a lot of time to do it. Maybe we'll see that next season, but I digress. Hi, everyone. I'm Glenn. We got Jennifer over there.
Hey.
Kristen is not with us today. Thanks very much for joining us. Once again, we have led you to believe that this is not an Atlanta United podcast, and it has nothing to do with MLS. It, in fact, is and does. So we had another preseason match, this time against our friends. Probably not.
I wouldn't call them friends.
No,
that was definitely not friendly. There was nothing friendly about that.
There was nothing friendly about this Memphis 901 match. Friendly, if you want friendly, you want to go to Mason Mill. Let's talk about them real quick. They have been our friends for a decade plus, and they've been our supporters of this this year pod for the past, since the jump, really, in 2020, almost 4 years now, coming up on season four of this thing. They are a chiropractor in town, best one in town. Give them a call at 404-321-0082 or find them on the web at masonmillchiro.com, and you can get your appointment set up with either Dr. Cohen or Dr. Farisi, and from time to time, Dr. Sherwood and other guests pop in. But give them a call. You'll speak to usually Ashley or Rachel, and they will get you set up with your appointment, or you can actually book an appointment just on their website online. Very easy to do. So, Memphis. Memphis 901 with our old friend, Emerson Heineman.
Emo.
Haven't seen him in a minute. And our other old friend, Stephen Glass. Glassy.
Love Glassy. Glassy did some quality work. Glassy did some quality underrated.
He came in
work.
A tough moment. He came in a tough moment for this club. And in a really tough period, just COVID and coach and all that. And did a good job.
My all-time favorite Atlanta United broadcast moments were Kevin Egan going, you know, doing post-game interviews with Stephen Glass, because, you know, just from a purely acoustic standpoint, both those accents back and forth were just beautiful to hear. And I really just wanted Kevin to sit there and read the word three over and over again and listen to Stephen Glass tell people to shove things up their arse.
I feel like you would love to have Glassy and Egan on a ASMR show.
Yes. Yes, I would.
Just have them
I get tingles thinking about that. I get all the tingles just thinking about that.
Oh.
But yeah, it was really interesting because Memphis took this match really seriously. I don't think Memphis approached this as like your typical, oh, let's get everything going and get, you know, warmed up or whatever.
No.
The approach was very different than what we saw in Birmingham last week.
Yes.
And it was pointed out both on Soccer Down Here and in Doug's write-up that it's actually a really good thing that the team has laid out their preseason schedule the way that they did, where they're not going to play the easy matches. They are really doing what they can.
No, they're trying to test themselves.
Yeah.
They're trying to get ready as opposed to just vacation around the world.
Right.
I don't know.
And to replicate the adversity that they face when you travel in MLS on the road, right? So they're trying to give them that, like, that whole, like, away match, because that's the big fat hole we had. You know, we come home, we're fine. You know, the Benz is the Benz, but MLS,
we do fairly well there. Yep.
MLS is still a league where it is almost impossible to win on the road. So anything you can do to replicate road conditions, to train that, to work on the muscle memory of what it's like to get up and take a 45-minute bus ride and go to the airport and you do all those things.
And that's can be, if you haven't been in this league for a minute or a domestic player of in a lower league like USL or something new for a lot of our players from South America, from Europe, that experience of it being a whole day, being a whole thing, and what travel does to the mind, to the body, and getting these guys used to that, I think is really important.
And it really is very, you know, it is really different for the North American soccer experience than it is for almost anywhere else in the world, where a lot of your away matches are so reasonably close by. Some of them you can even stay home for. Right. So you don't have, every time you're doing an away, you do not have this whole day of travel, right?
Yeah. There's no other league in the world. It's an entire day, especially if you're going West Coast.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Yeah. It's a whole thing that you have to plan for. And it's good that we're taking that into account, because like you said, our road form has not been great. It was a little better last year. We did get some results. But that's how you win in this league. Take care of your business at home, which you should do. If you're not taking care of your business at home, you got bigger problems that you need to solve. You get the shield. You get top four by winning on the road because no one else is.
Exactly.
Because it is so hard to do. If you can hack that, you're going to be in a good position.
Well, and interestingly too, I think a lot of the sides in MLS that we really historically struggle against are the sides that sit back and bunker, that don't open up opportunity with the ball, that force us to play. Not that we don't want the ball, but they force us to play with it too much.
We would rather play somebody who wants to play us.
Right. Because then everybody's going to mess up. Somebody's going to find the holes and we're going to have moments of brilliance. And that's a whole different idea than being Red Bull or Philly.
Right.
Who nobody wants to watch. That's boring.
I'm not saying that they haven't had success. Maybe Red Bull hasn't lately. They may come back this year, but Philly's had consistent success. That can't deny that. They're always fighting for it. It's just not entertaining. It's not a particular brand of soccer that I would enjoy watching week to week, even with winning and fighting for trophies and stuff. It's not that fun to watch.
I want to segue that into sort of kind of one of the takes from this week. And
sure. You were actually at this match. I was only able to watch like the first 15 minutes because I had a Hawks game that night that I had to go work, and we won again. Okay. Hawks, all of a sudden we're playing two way ball. We're playing defense. We're winning four games in a row. We have another game Monday night. The Hawks might suddenly be good again, but I digress. We'll see on that. But you were actually there, so you wrote up all these takes, and you had a kind of a in-person perspective as far as the level of play, the level of adversity that these guys were facing. And it, from what it sounded like, this was not your just kind of run-of-the-mill, warm-up friendly, try some things out. Like, this had a bit of an edge to it, yeah?
It really did. Memphis came to play, and I think a lot of the players on the Atlanta United squad did not have long memories of Memphis knocking us out in the first round of the Open Cup.
Memphis remembered.
Memphis certainly remembered. And look, Memphis is a very high quality USL Championship side. Let's give them, you know,
it should be said.
They spend money. They bring in top flight talent. They are transferring people in from all over. And USL Championship, in a lot of regards, has actually worked, especially in the lower East Coast, in the South. You're seeing a lot of the teams really moving some quality players in and strengthening the quality of soccer. And Birmingham's made a lot of moves. The Charleston Battery, who was a penalty kick away from winning the USL Championship last year, they've gotten even better. Memphis had to keep up with that. So this is
The level is quite good. It's not just playing kids. It's not college soccer. Like, the level is quite high in USL. It really is.
You know, and a lot of those players are able to, or showcasing for MLS contracts, because you've had quite a few injuries this preseason. You have quite a few open gaping roster spots that now that the January window is closed, we can't go international to fill. So where are those players that fill gaps?
Really come in from?
They are going to come up from USL Championship.
So they're still playing for contracts and moves. Yep.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of onus on those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy like Emerson Hyndman, you know, who we know well, who absolutely has.
And we said that in our part one or part two of Where Have All the Five Stripes Gone? We still think there's quality there. Transfermarkt still has his value at $1 million. If he has a big season, big half season, even with USL, which he needs to have. And I'd argue there's probably no better club for him to be at right now than Memphis as far as getting playing time and playing for a good side and getting good results. Yeah, he's looking. His intention is not to stay there.
Well, and especially with a team that has a media presence like Atlanta United does, where there's going to be a lot of coverage and discussion about preseason, more so than a lot of other clubs in MLS would offer.
Not other teams will be watching.
Yeah.
They'll be logging on and watching this.
You know, it is really a showcase for a lot of these players and an opportunity for a lot of these players.
You betcha.
So I think it was really good because you were getting a really fair replicated game day situation. And I need to shout out to the people who take care of the pitch at the Turner Sports Complex. If you've never been up to a preseason match in Athens or taken in a UGA soccer game, that is a beautiful facility. The quality of the turf is magnificent. I mean, it was glowing emerald green. And one of the things I liked the best, and actually, okay, fine, we'll do take one first.
One of the things I liked
the best was, when you're that close to the action, you can really see the quality on the ball.
Yeah, and, right.
You know, you can see how the ball is flying through the air and then backspinning and dropping in a pinpoint exact location.
We don't get that at the Benz. We haven't had that since Bobby Dodd. We love the Benz, and I love being inside and not having to deal with rain delays and all that garbage. But you do miss something in terms of the intimacy.
Yeah. And yes, exactly. And so this was take number two on our five takes, but I love the open spaces that we're finding. It has a lot of promise, and the players on the pitch were not afraid of the big swing or the push forward. And in particular, the quality of the long balls is noticeably better. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that, unless you're literally standing next to them, you're going to, next to these players on the grass, that you're going to actually see. It's not something you can see from inside the Benz, but that really stood out to me that, like, it wasn't about overall first team cohesion. There was a lot, but there were a lot of balls that were going to the right places. It was just the players' fitness level wise, they're not getting there yet.
Who else's fitness levels are we there yet as fans?
Oh,
how are we doing? Talking about the players' fitness here. Hold on a minute. Okay. Wait a minute.
Call me out. Do it. I own it. Call me out because I sat for almost like 30 minutes with that. I was very embarrassed.
We forget how fast time tends to move. We are not 2017 spring chickens anymore. Like, we're getting older here. And it sounded like maybe we were a bit out of shape too, and as far as keeping the chants going for 90. For 90, which we do at this Benz. When it's game day, we don't sit.
Look,
we stand for 90. And
I think it was Eddie and Josh who were on the drums and copying. And there was a good contingent of people that were yelling in full voice, but there was also, and I will say part of it is for a lot of us that are supporter season regulars. When you're in the supporter section, you're in the middle of all this, and you know this, like, you're spending that match actively supporting the team. You have a job to do, right? Mm. So when we get a chance to go to a preseason match, a lot of times it's like, ooh, I'd actually like to see them play. Mm. So there was a little, definitely some of that. But yeah, man, I am feeling like I am 8 years older. Like, it's, it shows. And like you don't think about it, but like, that's almost a decade, right? Like, that is when you're middle aged like me and you're not 20. That's, you start to actually notice the creaking and the crunching of bones and the Dolly Cavese going to knock me down for a whole chant and a half after that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Listen, I turned 40 last year, and 30 days after I turned 30, I slipped a disc L5. Like, getting old, I think God had a lot of great ideas, right? Animals, air, water, like
soccer.
Soccer, all great ideas. The whole aging thing, he fucked up. You work so hard in your younger years. You put in so much effort to build yourself a life. And then you get into your quote unquote golden years, or close to it, or whatever that is. And you should be enjoying that. You shouldn't be broken down and gasping for air and slipping discs. So just taking a little issue with God. Sorry about that, God. But yeah, I got to call you out on that one.
We get out there, we do it for love because we love this team and we love being there and we love being a part of it. And I think, we just need to train better, right? We need to get out there. We need to do our stretches. We need to hydrate, You know, if anybody gets in trouble, I always have ibuprofen with me in the supporter section.
Yeah, the ultimate supporter group mom here. I mean, you know, she's got you covered from booze to ibuprofen to glitter. She will take Jennifer will take care of you. Promise you that. On the opposite end of the age spectrum, though, let's go to someone quite young, Cobb.
Yeah.
You caught your eye?
You know, Cobb is showing like this enormous leap in overall quality. And I don't think I wrote this take in a way that maybe demonstrated that, because I'm getting.
You called it like having flashes. I'd argue it's more than flashes. I'd argue he's as fast as the Flash. He might be the fastest player on the team, at least at times. He's speedy.
There are so many things this kid is doing right. So I'm going to read the whole tape, but then I want to give some context to this.
Because
I actually sent this over while I may or may not have had multiple Bloody Marys. It was the first match of the season, and I can't speak for how coherent all my notes were at that point.
Go ahead. No. I understood what you were saying when you said he had flashes. I totally get what you're saying, but we both agree he is taking that big step. He is showing more consistency.
Yeah. I said Cobb had flashes. He needs more confidence on the ball. It almost feels like he doesn't want to take on the responsibility if a ball goes wonky, which is going to happen. When he pushes the ball forward, he looks great. He needs to do that all the time.
That's going to come with more play time, with more experience. That confidence is going to grow, and I think you're going to see more of that.
And that is what, in a very roundabout, weird way, I was trying to say is that, man, this kid is going to be something really special.
I agree.
He's going to be really special. And I think this goes back to me being more okay with, you know, Miles deciding to leave. And I think maybe Miles deciding to leave wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Because it gives him that opportunity then. How many times have we seen this story play out of a twos player, academy player, younger kid taking a big step forward the next year, right? Because there's an opportunity, a spot opens up via someone being transferred out or injury or otherwise, and they take their opportunity. We've seen kids take their opportunities really well time and time again.
And look, he is not the only academy kid that is really, really progressing. And I think, you know, one of the great things about preseason is we don't all get to the twos matches. We don't all get to see, you know, you don't get a ton of highlight reels and things like this. You don't always get to see what the kids are looking like, you know, until you get to moments like this where, you know, look, there's absolutely some, you know, some space and availability and need for depth pieces. And, you know, having had the academy in place for 10 years, we are now, you know, we were talking earlier about the point I was going to make about like Philly and why they can stay so consistently good. Philly builds from the academy up. So these kids are, they're drinking that Philly Kool-Aid of rolling around on the pitch and playing Jim Curtin ball since they're 12 years old. Right. Now, whether or not you like Jim Curtin ball, there is absolutely, you know, an argument to be made for sustained long-term success.
We can give Philly credit where it's due. Yeah. Absolutely. And that is a hallmark of that club, on top of the rolling around and the time wasting the first team does. They've done really good with the kids.
There is a Philly style of soccer. It is established. This is how Philly's going to play with the ball. And that Philly style of soccer is ingrained from age 12 to age 37. That is what you do. And I think, interestingly enough, you know, Garth Lagerwey coming in when he did, at a time where the academy is finally starting to mature and ripen. And, you know, these lovely big juicy peaches of prospect players are just starting to drop off the tree now. Right. So we're able to really utilize and leverage depth in a way that is going to allow us more space financially to be able to come in and fill bigger holes. So, you know, it's part of a whole picture. It's really great to see that come together with, you know, with players like Noah Cobb, but also with a Johnny Fortune, also with Nick Firmino, also with Tyler Wolf, you know, also with Efrain Morales looked really, really good. And our latest draft signing, Javier Armas, had a great day on the pitch. He had a great
day.
Watch
out for him.
He needs to learn how. Okay. He needs
watch
to.
Out for, needs, watch out for Javier. Watch out for him.
Someone get him a stylist. Someone get him some help. It's really, really not that hard. You know, we had a couple of hot fashion takes.
Number four, you're taking issue with Hyndman.
Well, you know, it's
Memphis
just,
could use a little help.
Okay, so I love. I really liked Emo. I liked Emo. He had the matching haircut. I'm a '90s girl. You know, sure. I think you know, we all had our emo phase, and like, I think he just needs to keep leaning into his My Chemical Romance. But I missed that little swipe of like hair in the eyes and whatever. And so now, you know, it was just not quite the emo that I know. And yeah, somebody let the goalie on the pitch for Memphis with a man bun. And like, that should just be an automatic disqualification unless your name is Breck Shea.
Didn't we have another, was it Alec DeJean that had a man bun? Or no, it wasn't DeJean. It wasn't Adam John who we mixed up previous.
No, it was Alec DeJean. I think it was, no, we had
Breck Shea. It might have been DeJean.
It might have been it might have been
him with the man, but yeah, it hasn't featured him. A lot.
Yes, and just no. There is no acceptable, allowable circumstance to wear a man bun. And we also think that maybe for these preseason matches that we should have a shirts and skins option where, you know, they go out with their training, with their crop tops and their, you know, little training tops on there, that we think a lot of people would enjoy that more. You know, just from a fashion consultant perspective. But yeah. And then, I guess the last take I had, if you want to get into some individual performances, I think,
sure. Jamal.
Yeah. Really good to see him finally break through, because he had a lot of very close moments in the little bit of time that he was seeing, on the pitch last year. And he is very strong on the ball. Hmm. It's just, you know, I really feel like we need all of our strikers to get over that snake bit hump, because it gets in their heads, and it doesn't matter like whether it's a Joseph.
That's
or whether
striker it's a... though, right? I mean, you need that.
Yeah,
goal,
but we
right?
had
like...
so many strikers who just couldn't find.
That's what I mean.
Net.
Yeah. You yeah. Know? Once you
we
do.
Yeah. And so to yeah. see him
yeah.
not
yeah.
take a year to find the back of the net, or to have like the wonder strike yes. that got Miguel Berry 2 years with the Galaxy, right? And to have that be the only thing that did for him. I want to see Jamal succeed here. I think he can, we need more depth at striker. I also,
we do. And it can be him. Mm-hmm. It can be him. So it's encouraging to, I know it's just preseason, but to see the ball hit the net already, that will hopefully translate to that same level of confidence when the season proper starts, because that has been an issue for this club, as much as not having a Nagby and having a ball winning six has been an issue for this club. Depth at striker.
We have one of those now.
And he looked, from what I saw in the first 15-20 that I was able to watch before I started work, he looked a little rough, a little lost. I mean, it's his first 15-20 with the club, but he had some good balls forward. He started to settle in, and the fact that the club recognized the need, the lacking that yep. and we went and solved that problem. Hopefully they've also solved the depth of striker problem with Thierry, and we don't have to reevaluate
I also think they must feel, you know, if we don't sign anybody else, I think they feel that Firmino, with his versatility up front.
That's also true. He's not a nine, but he could do it.
Yeah.
He can do it. He can play wing. Shit, he can play center back if he needed to. The dude is just an athlete.
Right?
He's just a footballer.
It seems like there's nothing that kid can do, that kid couldn't do.
The 10. He could even drop into like a false nine type role. He's really super versatile. He's got a little bit of everything and the willingness to go out and do it and have no issue with it. But, you know, his primary role wouldn't be, like, he's not a...
No.
Striker.
No.
We still need Jamal to do his thing and come good and be that nine. And if not him, then to still solve that and not just rely on a Firmino to just fill the gap.
So I like that. Tyler Wolf was extraordinarily impressive yesterday.
Mm.
He was everywhere, and you didn't see it at all, because he played the second half. He is going to absolutely push Caleb for his job.
Well, I don't think Wolf is going to drop to left back though.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know because you've got a rotation.
I don't think he has that versatility like Firmino does. Really, he's an attacking midfielder.
But he looked really, really solid defensively. And I feel like Pineda likes to play his fullbacks and his wingers.
It's true. I mean, and Caleb acts more as a forward and winger at times.
So
anyway, Oh, it's true. I mean, both those guys much prefer being in the final third than in their own. They want to be involved in the attack.
Be in the final third and be as defensively responsible as both Wiley and Brooks are. I mean, that's golden. And you're going to have, I think we're going to have a lot of really fun interchange between the fullbacks and the wingers to where those two positions next season are just completely fluid. And I think Wolf is going to absolutely have something to say about having a role in the starting lineup for that specific rotation, because I think his quality, again, he's another player that's really just made a huge, enormous leap from a quality on the ball and an overall vision of where he is on the pitch and where the ball needs to go to. It was really, really impressive yesterday. He had a great day.
I fully expect one or both of them, Caleb or Tyler, to be gone at the end of this season. I think their ceiling is so high. Maybe they need a little bit more development. We'll have to see how this season goes. But if they have good to better seasons, I don't think we're hanging on to both of them. I think clubs are going to come along, the right club with the right money for at least one of them.
I think it's at this point in time more likely to be Caleb, and that's only because Caleb has had more international feature and focus. It's also very likely that Caleb is going to go play, you know, play for the Olympics. So he's going to be gone, you know, 3 weeks, a month, or however long that's going to be. So
also true. You know,
so again, this is not a bad thing. Which could up
his stock even more.
Yeah, this is not a bad problem to have. Like, it's great to know, but also again, academy kid. And funnily enough, and I would love to hear from anybody in the audience that can think of another MLS player who has played on a team with both a father and a son. Because I
true,
found out,
right? Week, yeah.
Yeah. I found out this week reading Doug Robertson's interview with Dax McCarty, that Dax McCarty actually played with Josh Wolf in DC and is now apparently very overwhelmingly feeling full of being on a team with Josh Wolf's kid here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of cool, kind of funny. And then my final thought on this whole thing, if you're not already behind this man, I don't understand what is wrong with you, but Brooks Lennon for captain. The man got on the pitch and tried to mix it up with people because he wasn't taking any of that. And like, to see just another component to the man's versatility, like, just makes me so happy and want to do cartwheels. Also, I got a hug from him yesterday, and it was really good to see him, and that made me really, really happy. And it's officially been decided I'm having new earrings made for Brooks.
I think you should. I think you should be captain. I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I think the limb is pretty strong. I think it's more of a branch. I think this is a solid branch that I'm standing on right now. Brooks should be captain. I want a captain who's involved in the play, not goalkeeper. That's no disrespect to Brad and his leadership qualities.
Right.
He has them. He's a leader of this club. He always will be, even post his playing career. I think he's going to take that Parky Garza road and stay involved with this club. Maybe joins Kratz's kids. Who knows? Goose's Gullies. I don't know. He's going to be here. He's going to be here.
Absolutely.
But I want somebody involved in the play who's vocal, which he is, who will stand up for his players but also be calm, be smart. That's Brooks to a T.
Yep.
It could be Yorgos in terms of having those qualities, but I think the captain's armband would do more for Brooks than it would do for Yorgos. For Yorgos, I kind of feel like that's a weight that he has to carry. And for Brooks, I think it kind of makes him weightless, like it adds to him. I don't want to add that responsibility onto our striker. He's got enough going on. You just focus on scoring goals. That's all I need out of you. Brooks has been here also longer and just has that reputation, has that rapport, has that love with the fan base, knows the fan base, knows the club. Give him the armband.
I do want to point out, though, like, I have a tremendous amount of admiration and respect for Gigi taking the armband yesterday because of the reasons that you said. It's not something that is typically going to be the responsibility of your superstar striker to take on.
No,
right?
And it wasn't Joseph.
Joseph. Joseph was kind of like the unofficial guy. Like, it was there, right. And what he said carried.
Be a leader without the armband. People still turn to him. But he's still orchestrating and communicating and saying, "Hey, I want the ball over here. We need to do this. We need to do that." But talking with the ref and taking on the captain responsibilities.
I love seeing Gigi. I love seeing Giakoumakis take that and ask for it. Like, again, I think it just goes back to saying volumes about players who want to be here and Atlanta finally being a destination club and not just another train stop. And that's great. That's what I want to see. I want to see players who want to be here, that want to be as involved as
that's what we're seeing with new contracts in the city.
Yeah.
New contracts for these players, 3-4 years plus.
Yep.
Not looking at Atlanta and this opportunity as a stepping stone to the next thing, which if you want to come here and do that, that's still fine. And we still have that avenue for you. If you're a young player, Tiago-esque or whoever, 22, 23, you want to come do a 2-3 year stint to, you know, get to your stated goal of Europe or wherever, we have that for you. But it is really refreshing to see guys in their prime choose Atlanta on a long-term deal. That's different than what we've seen in this club in the past. And I love it. I love all, the other aspect too, but it's just a nice change of direction for this club. I'm really happy for it.
No.
I'm happy that it seems that we just keep adding leaders to this club who could wear that armband. That's great. I just think Brooks is the best fit for it right now in terms of ticking pretty much every box. I don't think there's a box he doesn't tick.
I couldn't actually agree with you more, because if I go back and I look at the last three seasons and when Guz was injured, right? And I know we had a lot of injuries, but like Matheus Osetiu, as much as I liked him as a player, he was never somebody who should have worn the armband for this club. And the fact that we would struggle to think of anybody who wasn't Guz that should have worn the armband for this club, and the people that should have worn the armband for this club didn't want to wear the armband for this club. That is not, I would rather there be, okay, you know what? We have to have real hard discussions and talks about this stuff. And you guys have, let the boys go in there and fight it out. Yeah. Let's, Thunderdome this thing. I would love to see Gigi and Brooks in a Thunderdome for who wants to be captain of this club. I would pay all the money for that, to be in the locker room for that. That'd be awesome. But you see, like, these are active, meaningful roles that these players actually want to step up and take, which I think is not a vibe we've had here in quite some time. Not really since La Banda in 2019 that De Boer hated.
Yeah. You're right. It's a different vibe right now. It really is that we have players wanting to step up to lead this club, to be the face of this club, at least facing outward towards the media and, that person that is the voice.
Yeah.
The spokes guy,
On that note, I think, that's going to wrap us up, but I do need to publicly speak something to yesterday's shenanigans. I think I owe a massive public apology to the supporter section, because I had changed my clear bag out. And during the playoffs last season, my clear bag had an explosion of glitter inside of it. So the 404 kit colored scarf that I wore to complete my ensemble yesterday was completely drenched and covered in glitter in places that even I don't normally find glitter in. So it may have been that I shook my scarf around, or I don't remember what I did, but I know apparently there was some sort of cloud of glitter bomb that went off. It got on chairs of my friends that I tried really hard to wet wipe off and make sure there wasn't any glitter that went home in her car with her, and other important people in the supporter section that were apparently shrouded in this glitter cloud that hung over the air for a minute or so. So if you have incidental glitter contact, I am truly sorry, because it was preseason, and that's not necessarily what everybody did sign up for, even though, you're in the supporter section and you kind of signed up for the glitter and the beer and whatever. But anyway, it wasn't an intentional glittering. I never glitter anybody that doesn't want to be glittered. I'm all about consent.
I think you probably owe apologies to no one. I think you come with a general disclaimer. I think this is pretty well known at this point, and I'm sure everyone is okay with it. All right, that is going to wrap it up. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you for going to Mason Mill. Thank you for joining Atlanta United Fan TV Discord. Look for that invite in the show links. We have our MLS Table 2024 prediction contest coming up, where we will be sending out a Google form to everybody in the Discord to predict where all these teams are going to land in the table this season, Eastern, Western, and then an overall winner. And we will have some pretty dope prizes going out to the winner of the East, the West, and then an overall, some signed jerseys, shirts, other swag, tickets, etc., etc. But to be a part of that, you do need to join the Discord on Fan TV, and that link will be in the show notes. Yeah, I think that's about it. We're going to be back, actually, in a couple days with supporter group episodes.
Woohoo!
We've recorded those. We're recording a few more. Look for those to drop on the Five Aside coming up this week. And then we will be back. Is the next match, the next preseason match down in Tampa, is that one being broadcasted?
Yeah, they're going.
Is that
going
one being
to,
streamed?
Yeah, they're going to Tampa. They play... They play Montreal on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Mm. It is closed, but apparently they're streaming that one.
Okay. Okay. Try and have an episode for that. And will Montreal sign Joseph?
Ooh.
Mm. Haven't announced anything yet. We've seen photos. Tom Bogert
We've seen photos that are not safe for work of Joseph in Montreal.
I haven't seen it.
You didn't see the picture of him with the Montreal supporters, and they have the scarf that says a very bad word, Toronto.
No, I didn't see that. That's great.
Oh yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, we're a little bit more subtle here. You know, we use the language OFYO. I guess in Canada, it's just put it all out there and nobody cares, and we give zero Fs.
Montreal has no love for them. I remember going to the Montreal match and joining in on the fuck you Toronto chant, which I was happy to be a part of because I have no love for Toronto either. They've taken a lot from us. I have no love for that team. So good on them. I doubt we'll see Joseph Wednesday, even if it does happen and Joseph decides to get his medical. Okay, well, they know what to expect from that medical, but we'll have to wait and see if Joseph gets his poutine on. We're not sure. But that could be interesting. I wish him nothing but the best and success there. I really do. I hope it works out for him. I hope he gets to be the man there and resume the Joseph of old. And who knows? A few years from now, doors never completely shut. Weird things happen. It could. It's kind of unlikely.
Wouldn't write it off that they sign him on a one-day contract to come out and take a bow before. You know, there's any number of things. But I think Montreal, as far as what other options could be, Montreal would be a great spot for him because he can still be the guy. Yeah. And I love
agreed.
That for him.
Agreed. All right. We'll be back next. Just in a few days, even less than a week with a 5
You're
going to
get so sick of us with all the content.
So much content coming.
We got so much great content coming down the pipe.
So much content coming. And we're going to have some video content coming too soon in a few weeks. Yeah. Look for that to come.
I'm working on a new, like, I'm the Salt Bae, but like Glitter Bae meme. Like I need to work on my Photoshop-y skills because that needs to be a thing.
Yeah, we got a little something Glitter Bay-ish dropping very soon. By the time you're listening to this, you will probably already seen a little graphical update to the pod. All right, y'all. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in a few days. Till then, y'all be good. We will be back.
Arf!
Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.